nervous when I have too many notes. I understand. I did my best not to write most of the ridiculous source stuff that I find much more interesting than the rest of us. Oh yeah, it led me to like Akkadian languages, and yeah, you don't want to know. So with it being Father's Day, I want to talk a little bit about the nature of God as our Father, and what exactly Scripture can tell us about that, what exactly that relationship is, and how it relates to the way we have been saved, the way we have been brought into the kingdom of God. So let's start off with maybe the classic story of a father's dilemma in Genesis, when Abraham is told to sacrifice Isaac. And so, Mike, if you'll... And so, through this story, as you know, God has called Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. And so they go up, they have the wood, they have the knife, and Isaac spoke up and he said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" The ultimate father's dilemma. But more than that, foreshadowing. Because we know that as Isaac lays there, as Abraham prepares to give Isaac back to God, God stops him. And there's a ram stuck by his horns in the thicket. But that's a temporary measure. That sacrifice was temporary. A son would have to be sacrificed for us to regain our relationship with God. Because that's what had happened. As the world had fallen, as we had become so broken, God was no longer able to have the relationship He once did, walking in the garden in the cool of the evening, because we had fallen. And so, there's another place where God is mentioned as Father. This is when Jesus prays in Gethsemane, and He is so filled with emotion that He sweats drops of blood. And He says, "Abba, Father," He said, "everything is possible for You. Take this cup from Me, yet not what I will, but what You will." At this moment, we really see God as Father. And we see it because of one strange word, Abba. You see, Abba isn't in the Greek that the New Testament was written in. Abba is an Aramaic word. And if you know anything about the languages the Bible was written in, Aramaic is what they were speaking. Greek was just what they were written in. So Mark makes the choice to add Jesus' exact words, one of only 9 times that Aramaic is left in the Greek writings. Only 9. And Mark leaves this in there. Why? Well, that's been sort of debated. What exactly is the importance of this idea of Abba? So it became popularized, this idea that it just meant daddy. That it was just about what a child called their father. It was just about this intimacy. And we start to get this picture of Jesus being not reduced, but in such a stressful moment, coming to His Father like a child, not in a negative way, but because such emotion transfixed Him. But that's not exactly true. You see, this will be a little bit of a boring part, but I think it'll make sense. In Aramaic, as in Hebrew, with the word Abba, there is no formal and informal. There is none of this idea of, you know, daddy and father. It is Abba. In fact, to such extent that Abba is used in the Hebrew to mean at times an elder or some sort of guardian. Someone who is in charge of a family, whether that be father or not. But there's something else really important about Abba. It's because of that, because of those things, it also means an heir to his king. And that's exactly what's going on here. Mark is leaving this here because of the ambiguity. He's saying Jesus, in that moment, is both in this intimate relationship with the Father, but at the same time is an heir speaking to his King. And he's saying, I'm afraid, Father, but your will be done, my King. What's so fascinating is that there are only a few words that really trickle down throughout history unchanged. One of them is this word, Abba. Because you see, if you go back to the Old Testament and you read in the Hebrew that story of Abraham and Isaac, Isaac says, Abba, where is the sacrifice? He says, Abba, what? Well, where is it? And his Abba is forced to say, well, son, you're the sacrifice. God in that moment spared him, but it was temporary. And so now it has come full circle where it came from Abba, what is to be the sacrifice? To Abba, I'm ready to be the sacrifice. This name that carries such power, both with this intimacy and this heir to royalty. But the thing is that we, because of our fallenness, had been separated from this relationship with God as Abba. That because he had to be separated, because of our fallenness, that he was, in a sense, oh so loving, and though wanting the best for us, he was only King. You see, God dwelt with Israel in the high place, the holiest of holies. Once a year, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and go into the presence of God himself to communicate, to ask forgiveness for the people. That though God's amazing love so wished to be an intimate connection with us, he knew every hair on our head, but there was this separation that we were being kept from the presence of God. But the thing is that in the beginning, the question was asked, Abba, where is the sacrifice? But at the end, it's Abba, I will be that. And through his sacrifice, through that, and through the Spirit, we are now brought in to be heirs. That because that son was sacrificed, no longer were we on a temporary solution of the ram stuck in the thicket, but a sacrifice that brought us back into the presence of God. And though he had been in the royal hall, sitting upon his throne, we were separated. Because of our fallenness, unable to enter before him, but finally, he was able to throw open those doors. We say, Abba, Abba. But with this calling is not just our intimacy with God, but also a calling to be heirs as well. And so we go, Paul mentions this idea of us and Abba in Romans. He says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. That with Jesus' sacrifice, we went where God could only be King, to where now he could be Abba. And we could be heirs. But as heirs, we are called to a responsibility. And that responsibility is, he's not just this intimate Father that we have an individual relationship with, but he's our King, calling us to be a part of this kingdom we are heirs to. Calling us to be this kingdom, this people who has come together. For us to be both intimately connected with him as individuals, but also working with him to bring order to the chaos, light to the darkness. That is what it means to be Abba. To be both Father and King. And for us to be both heirs and sons and daughters. So that's what I want to leave you with tonight. As we think about our own fathers, as we think about the impact that they have had on us, we remember that we have a perfect Father. And because of Christ's sacrifice, now He is Abba. When Jesus gave His life, the curtain to the holiest of holies was torn in half. That all of a sudden, with the Spirit, God didn't just dwell there, separated in His throne room, except for those who were permitted entrance. Now, we could freely enter, freely be in His presence. So that's what I want to leave you with, is that our responsibility as heir is all about our transformation through His kingdom. But that also, no matter what, no matter our failings, God is now Abba. He's now Father, there to pick us up when we fall. And so if you would like to become a part of that through the Spirit, for through the Spirit He becomes Abba. If you would like to enter into that, will you come while we stand and sing?